episode 162 of Game Over Nation. I am your host, Javi Rodriguez. With me this week is Ryan De La Rosa.
Hi, everybody.
And Gabe Philbin.
Hey.
No Dylan Roush. He's out with the...
The sniffles.
The sniff snaps.
Yeah, something. He wouldn't feel sickness. Too good, apparently.
But it's all right. We'll carry on.
We'll blame the dog.
Yeah. It seems like it's the cause of every other one of his problems lately. So, why not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause of his chewed up chair and all the pee smell.
Yeah.
He doesn't pee, the dog does. The dog doesn't like make him.
Allegedly.
Pee. Allegedly.
That's what he says.
We have not seen the house ourselves.
We cannot confirm.
He's always wanted to pee all over the house and now he has someone to blame it on.
Yeah, that was always really weird when he was over. He just like,
that's all he ever wanted.
Always peeing all over the place.
We're not going anywhere with this.
No. Yeah, nothing.
So Ryan, what you been up to this week?
Oh boy, what have I been up to?
Dangerous.
Is it dangerous?
Yeah, definitely played some of that. But mostly like I've been thinking about getting this. You guys have been talking about this Freedom Wars game.
Yeah.
So I've been thinking about getting that. I don't know. Like I have other console stuff that I need to play, but it seems like when I'm at home, if I'm like, I want to play some games, I just go fire up Elite Dangerous. So, I don't know. Like, I feel like I want something else to play. Like I said, even though I have a shit ton of stuff sitting around here that I could or should be playing, to wrap them up, stuff that I've got like half started. Other than that, just non-gaming Ryan life.
Boring.
Snooze
fest, am I right?
I know, right?
Fell asleep.
Yeah. So, one of the websites that I like order brewing equipment from literally had a "you didn't win the Powerball sale, so come take 20% off of shit."
So it's a sale.
I guess so.
Only if you didn't win.
No, yes. I think. Well, see, they didn't ask any questions. I think even if you won the lottery, you could probably still get your 20% off.
That's
which
not
is
fair.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Come on, you should write a letter. Get your shit together. But so I bought another brew kettle to help make my beers even better in the future. Because I'm able to control. Mash temperatures a little bit better with that because you can apply heat directly to it, which you cannot do to an igloo cooler. They tend to melt. They don't really like it.
Well, of course.
Yes, yeah. Naturally.
Yeah. see, what...
You
what...
should name a beer after Mirror's Edge.
Beer's Edge.
I'll call it Mediocre. I don't think it'll sell very well.
Mediocre from You're Not Wrong Studios. Or Brewery.
I signed up for a Tough Mudder.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Fucking Godspeed with that.
Yeah, it sounds tough. I don't it's in the name. So yeah. It's not till May, so we'll see how it goes.
You're just gonna be like crawling through mud and
jumping
over
through fire and
is that a thing?
Oh, yeah, they've got flames on the course that you have to... It's like, they're not real big, but like...
I always thought it was just like some recreation of like a military camp workout
kind
thing.
Of, but there's fire.
Just with more fire.
Yeah, just with more fire. Apparently there's some light swimming. I didn't realize that there were parts where you actually had
through
to
fire.
Swim through. That'd be cool.
Get right? back in the fiery water.
Yeah. So that, like, I got a buddy who signed up for it. He like started bugging me about it, and I was like, all right, I guess I'll. Sure, why the hell not? So I gotta figure out how I'm gonna train for that. I ride my bike and stuff pretty regularly, but riding a bike and running are two totally different things. And then add in all the other bullshit. Yeah, I gotta do something else. So, Yeah, I feel like I thought of something else that I had to talk about before we started, but now I don't remember what it is.
So, you said you were considering getting Freedom Wars, which Dylan did on my recommendation.
Right.
Which I was trying to get Gabe to do.
I might. I need to save money because I'm going to Texas. And truth be told, I probably shouldn't because I can't really afford it, but I'm going to do it and see how it goes.
Oh, okay. Texas, not Freedom Wars.
Yeah,
okay.
Texas.
You should see how Freedom Wars goes.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely going to keep playing Freedom Wars, but at the same time, like, I'm definitely getting Monster Hunter. Which, from the reviews for Freedom Wars...
That's what Freedom Wars is.
I hear it's the same kind of game.
Yeah.
So, I'm
buying... Just on the Vita.
Yeah, Vita versus 3DS. So, I don't know, I'm going to try to balance the two similar games.
Did Monster Hunter come out on the Wii U?
No. It's 3DS only. I was mistaken.
Oh, it's Xenoblade that has the 3DS and the...
It's a Wii game, but it's not...
There's like
two different games.
There's Xenoblade 3D, yeah. And then there's like Wii U with Xenoblade X or whatever.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Anyways, yes, I am picking up Monster Hunter, and I'm just hoping I can give them equal attention.
How anime is Freedom Wars?
It's very anime. The character creation is as anime as it fucking gets.
So, like, does it have, like, the crazy learning curve like Monster Hunter does? Because most people say Monster Hunter sucks for, like, 10 hours.
No, I don't think so, because, like, you start out and... Okay,
like
so
Destiny.
It just sets up a really awesome, interesting universe where, like, poverty is the norm, but, like, these civilizations can hold their shit together as long as every single person that's a part of the country or the community. I can't remember what they're called. They're like Panepticons or something like that.
Equally poor?
No, is contributing, basically.
Oh, okay.
So, like, basically, and people, like, individuals are seen as assets as long as they can contribute. And that includes, so, like, if you're really intelligent and you're, like, a engineer or whatever, you know, designing roads...
I do that, and play
Elite Dangerous.
Yeah,
yeah.
Then you're considered a really valuable asset to your community.
Yeah, basically, if only you guys would see that more, jerks.
Yeah, but like you play like the game starts out with like a squad of sinners is what they're called. Those are people that basically are criminals that are put in jail because they weren't contributing or they broke rules that you're not allowed to break. And so you get all these years added to your sentence. So you start out the game as a sinner that was out in the field and then you get knocked out and you lose your memory entirely. So you're starting from scratch. And they're like, how dare you lose your memory after all the training we put you through? That's a million year sentence. And so they... Can give you a million years.
I don't think you're
going to
make it out of there.
Yeah. So you start out. There's different tiers of prisons. You start out at the bottom, of course. And basically, you have to earn the right to lay down when you go to bed, like when you go to sleep. You have to earn that by doing several missions and then trading in points that you've earned. And it's just like a really cool dystopian world.
So if I start the game and I just say I am an engineer, it will just be like, ah, you win, game over.
Well, no. I don't know, did you mention that the way you work out your sentence is by completing the mission?
Yeah, so you select your mission that you're going on. Yeah.
So you're not actually there for a million years, right?
Yeah, you whittle off like 20
bullshit.
Years at a time.
it's sort of like the equivalent of getting like 15 life sentences, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right.
And like the items that you get, like the rarer the item, like you can still trade in those items at the end of a mission, and that'll shave off years off of your sentence as well. So I guess the point of the game is to lower your sentence and go up the ranks of different prisons to get a more cushy lifestyle.
In prison.
Yeah, but like it's not just black and white like that. You're also like there's certain other sinners that you'll encounter that will like trade with you with certain things, and trading is also illegal, but sometimes it's worth it to get time added to your sentence, because in the end you'll end up with a better weapon, or you'll actually end up shaving off even more time than you earned by doing that. So it fluctuates, so you have to like make a lot of decisions that way. It's a cool idea. It's a really cool idea, and you get to design your character and make him look however you want, or her however you want. And then you have this, I think they're called assistants. I can't remember. But you have this like robot that's assigned to you, and that's the one that like kind of makes sure that you're following the rules and will charge you if you break any of them and all that stuff. But they kind of go out in the field with you. And anyways, the missions are also contributing to your country. Like the engineers and the important smart people are being abducted by other countries that want them. So basically,
that's why we carry guns.
Yeah. So you do rescue missions to like save them from these giant robots called abductors. And the gameplay is cool because you can press, I think, down on the D-pad switches you from a melee kind of sword, you know, hack and slash stuff. You can switch from that to a third person shooter. And then also you have this grappling hook. It's like, it's called a thorn. It's like this wrapped up like a basically vine that's around your arm, and you can like launch it out at any wall or part of the environment and just pull yourself towards it, like you zip line towards it. And you can also use it to like grab enemies and pull them towards you or knock them down. And like with the abductors, those giant robots, there's different things you can do when you attach to different parts of their body, and different parts are vulnerable to different kinds of attacks. So you can like either knock them down or pull yourself up to them, so you're just fighting in the air, kind of like Attack on Titan. It's really cool. There's lots of different things you can do. The game's super stylish. It's like the best looking game I've seen on Vita. I was playing it on my Vita TV, and I forgot it was a Vita game. I thought I was playing like a PS3 game. It looked really good. So I don't know. It's great. It's interesting.
I want to get I guess I'd either get that or Monster Hunter. I've never played Monster Hunter game.
I hear Monster Hunter is just like an insane barrier to entry. Like you have to really read a lot of tutorials.
So maybe go Freedom. But I also got my new flashy 3DS.
Yeah, and Rachel said she wants to get Monster Hunter, and Fozzie's getting it, so I don't know. Either way you'll be set. Like I'm gonna be playing both with Dylan. Dylan has Freedom Wars. Freedom Wars definitely looks more my style, you know.
I played Monster Hunter demo, it looked pretty ugly.
Of Freedom Wars?
No, Monster Hunter.
Yeah, Monster Hunter.
It didn't look great.
Well yeah, even just like graphic fidelity aside, I think the way that people like the armor looks, the way everything looks is fuck ugly. Like
yeah.
Monster Hunter's hideous. It's really clashy colors and big bulky armor.
Yeah, it's running on a 3DS, so it's not gonna look great anyway. But like the way they designed it, it looks like they wanted to make it for another game. Like they didn't like consider that it was being made for the 3DS, so it looks like things should be higher res.
Oh, so it's like downgraded to
Kind of like that. So it's not like simple. Like yeah. If they made it look like I don't know,
stylized, yeah, it doesn't look. Yeah,
Monster Hunter that looks like Wind Waker. How about that?
Yeah.
Naturally.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's the
naturally.
It's the weekly. Emergency.
We didn't hear anything. Like you've been here like a few hours. There wasn't a single siren. Yeah.
Someone stole Beth's growlers.
Contrast to Monster Hunter. Although, like you know, I've heard amazing things about Monster Hunter. That it's like the most satisfying like game because stuff that's so challenging and difficult. You'll train, get better armor, or get better, or come back with a bunch of friends and take down the same monster that you couldn't dream of beating, and that's the most satisfying thing in the world. So
and,
I hear that.
And it doesn't end.
Really?
That's just what I get from Monster Hunter games in the past. Much. Like, I watched the Best Friends, like, top 10 games of, like, 2013, I think it was, and Pat's had Monster Hunter whatever on it. And the stuff he was, like, the gear he was wearing was, like, from, like, at least, like, 100 hours into the game. And people in the comments were making fun of him for only putting 100 hours into Monster Hunter. Because they could clearly tell.
Yeah.
That he had only put in that much time because of the stuff he was wearing.
Yeah. I mean, that's why, like, all that praise is why I'm getting Monster Hunter and also to play with Foz. But Freedom Wars, like, if it was just objective and no outside influence, Freedom Wars, like, looks so much more my style. It's really slick.
It has a grappling hook.
It's got a grappling hook, which is really cool. Like, it's so satisfying, like, latching onto one of those really tall, like, robots and pulling yourself at it and just doing, like, a spiral attack and all this shit. It's really cool. And the third-person shooting feels great. So, yeah, I mean, Freedom Wars is definitely more my style. Like, it's just visually and I guess the world that it's set in is really interesting. But, yeah, either way, I'm getting both. Or I have Freedom Wars, but, yeah. Yeah, and otherwise I've just been playing Little Big Planet 3. That was on sale on Valentine's Day, so Rachel picked it up. And so I've had it for a while. Yeah. So I started playing that again, and I'm like, Little Big Planet's great! Ah! But you know, there's no getting over the fact that they botched the PS4 version. Like, all the costumes that you had for Little Big Planet 1 and 2, they work for Little Big Planet 3, but only on the PS3 version. Because you can't download them from the PS4 store. But they're still in the store in the game. So
they're not available at all on the PS4?
No, you can't.
You can't even like buy them again.
No, you can't download them. You can't, but you can see them. It shows them there. Like if you go to the Little Big Planet 3 in-game store, it's like, oh, here's Spider-Man costume. I'm like, hey, I have that. I click on, or no, you can't click on it. The X button doesn't work. It doesn't do anything. So it's just fucked.
Do you think they keep making Little Big Planet games? I don't know. This one wasn't even Media Molecule, but like, do you think there's still life in the Little Big Planet franchise?
Sure, yeah. I think it's a franchise.
They're gonna have to do a better job.
They are gonna have to do a better job. This was really disappointing.
This one's just like Little Big Planet 2,
it was really disappointing and unadvertised, launched with zero fanfare.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Sony game.
Yeah, most of us didn't even realize it had come out until it was like, oh, what?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still kind of torn and confused. I don't know how to feel about the different sack people, like the dog and the growing, tricking guy. They look dumb, yeah, but the gameplay that they provide is interesting. Like, I like playing as the dog a lot. It's like a very fast-paced, like, wall-kicking platformer, which you can't do with Sackboy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't feel all floaty and physics-like. It's fast, you know? So that's cool. But at the same time, why is it in the same game? You know, and it's just a disjointed experience. You go into a level and you're like, well, you're Sackboy, and you're like, oh, I can only get those items if I'm the dog. So you have to come back as a dog. And well, like, but once you have four characters, how complicated is it going to be? You know, I'm not that far.
When you go into a level, do you say, I'm going to be the dog?
Yeah.
So it's not like you start the level and then, like, you change?
No.
Okay.
I mean, it might change later on in the game, but where I'm at now, like, there's a hub world. And actually, I hate this, too. It slows everything down. Like, in the old Little Big Planet games, you'd go to a world, but you were still in a menu, and you could choose any of the levels from that menu and go right to the level. You can still do that initially, but once you've gone into a level and you beat it, it pulls you out into this hub world where you're in, like, you have to actually walk to the different levels. Like, you're in like a big ass level,
so it's like an overworld.
Yes. Okay. But you're in it, though. You're walking around.
Okay.
Which sucks. It's like a...
Because it's just side to side.
Yeah, and up and down with climbing and different fucking...
That's what fucking Sonic Generations did, and it was terrible.
Yes, it's just like Sonic Generations, yeah. And so you like just want to back out, which you can do, but it takes time. You have to press start, go back to map, and then you can choose a level you want to go to.
I don't want to like make it sound like I like the rest of Sonic Generations. I don't really like the rest of Sonic Generations.
But that's such a shitty design choice.
Yeah, let it be known that that's stupid.
It's horrible. I mean, that being said, though, like once you're in a level, the music is just as like, I don't know. Little Big Planet has such like interesting music choices where they're memorable. Like Little Big Planet 1 in particular, you play any song from that game soundtrack, we're like, oh, that's from Little Big Planet. Like, I remember this. It's weird, you know. It's not necessarily catchy or anything. It's just,
it's pretty. Yeah, it's kind of quirky.
Yeah, it's quirky. That's the right word. So it definitely captures that. I mean, there's a series of levels that I really like at first. Where it's like a 50s diner, and they're like playing Mr. Sandman, or they'll play this really weird, catchy, like fast paced song that sounds straight out of, you know, Back to the Future. And you're like trying to activate these milkshake machines and stuff.
Gonna go back in time.
Yeah. So like it's still endearing. It's still like really cute, and I love Little Big Planet. So I still like playing it. It's just nowhere near as good or as, like, solid a package as the first two or the Vita version. I think the Vita version's right up there with the second one. Those are the two best. But,
It's no Knack.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and also, it's like, I've heard it was full of bugs. I never looked into what those bugs were exactly, but I ran into one bug today, or this over the weekend. Me and Rachel were playing together, and we got all these co-op items and all this shit. We went through a bunch of levels and 100%ed a bunch of them. And then I load up my game, and I didn't get any of them. Even though we were playing on our own consoles, so it should have saved on my game, on my console.
But Rachel got them.
Yeah.
Was she, like, the host of the game?
Except, well, okay. Actually, we never went back and confirmed that she got... She was the host of the game, yeah.
Okay.
But, so I was playing on my game, and I went and got those items. And then I was like, oh, there's some co-op items I need to go back to get. So I go in there, and I turn on a second controller on my console. And I'm like, all right, I'll log in as Rachel. And then it just undoes all the items in the thing, so they're all brand new. Because it says that she doesn't have any of them. I'm like, oh, God damn it. So, weird. I don't know. I don't remember having any of those problems in the old games. It's just a fucking mess.
Who even made The Little Big Planet 3?
It's not a recognizable
thing. Just like a Sony Studios.
I know that Little Big Planet Vita was done by Targen. That like, icon. Yeah. But, yeah. I don't know. Little Big Planet 3 is a disappointment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a disappointment.
Grow Home!
Grow Home, bitches!
Grow Home's so good!
Grow Home's insane.
I spiked the mic with my enthusiasm!
It's a Grow
what
Home.
What is this?
It's a Grow Home is like this little, like, I guess you could just say 3D platformer from Ubisoft Reflections, I think. That's like a team of like 8 people. And so I don't think Ubisoft knows they exist because, like, this game got, like, no buzz at all. It's, like, it's this tiny little one-stage adventure, but, like, it's a really big stage. But that's besides the point. Whatever. The way the game works is you're a little robot named Bud, and you get dropped from your spaceship onto this planet. And it's like, hey, Bud, make the star plant grow. And you're like, what the fuck is the star plant? So you walk around, and you see this big old plant. And there's, like, these little sprouts coming out of it from the side. And the game tells you, like, oh, connect those sprouts to these floating islands and it makes the plant grow. It's like, okay, that makes sense because science. And you hop onto one of these little sprouts and you fucking, like, you grab it and then it just starts, like, going off like a fucking bronco as you try to, like, steer it towards the island. And you have to do that to make the plant grow. And the goal of the game is to make the plant reach your ship, essentially.
And you're a robot from space, and you fell off your spaceship, and so you have to grow a plant to home.
Yep. Yeah, I pretty much said that already, buddy.
I know, but I'm bringing it
He's
home.
He's paraphrasing.
God damn it, Gabe.
He's the cliff notes.
Dumb Gabe.
And, like, the
no one likes you.
The gimmick of the game is that you move, like, really clumsily. Like, you keep your momentum after you stop, like, holding the controller, like, the stick in a direction, but to work against that, you can grab onto things with the triggers, and that's the main gimmick of the game, that's how you climb everything, that's how you grab stuff, and so you move really clumsily, but it's really easy to stop, because you can just grab the ground with these triggers. And you'll use these triggers to, like, climb plants, climb around these, like, floating rocks to look for, like, collectibles, or to, like, try to find, like, the best approach to the next island. And the game's, like, super stylistic. It's, like, really, it's, like, not, like, high in, like, poly count or anything, but it's, like, really bright and colorful and just, like, super charming.
I think you could say it's cel-shaded. I mean, it doesn't have an outline, but that's the...
Yeah.
Like, it's solid colors with...
Okay.
Yeah.
So slightly cel-shaded, you could say.
I mean, look at that. Look at the shadows, how they're
okay.
Just solid colors.
Okay, so cel-shaded, we'll go with it.
Game's so fucking good.
Yeah, it's just like a really cute little adventure, and God, I hope they make more of it.
Yes. I was telling Gabe, it captures that kind of fear of heights and, like, that tension and release of, like, oh my God, like, when you make a jump, and since the controls are kind of awkward and weird... Like, when you land something, or you know, jump off a really high spot, pull out your leaf and fucking glide at something, let go and then grab it at the last second. Like, I don't know. It's so exhilarating. It puts that, like, feeling in the pit of your stomach. Oh my God, if I miss this jump, holy shit. And you fucking,
you're going to fall for like 2000 meters.
Yeah. Like, it's really, really fun and awesome. And it's beautiful. It's great. And, but it is shorter than The Order 1886. Very short.
Which we will get into.
Yeah, it's only $8 though, so yeah. Whatever. It's so good. Everybody go buy it. If you're listening, buy it. It's so good.
It's like it's like the kind of game I can see being a lot bigger, but just like each stage being like a different planet that you're dropped on. So like the whole game, to my understanding, is just like this one drop. Maybe it'll get bigger. I think this is like a final release. I don't think this is early access or anything.
Here's a quote from Kotaku. I am drowning in whimsy. It only took minutes for Grow Home to win me over. Yes, I agree 100%. I came in, Gabe was playing it, and he let me play it for a little bit, and I was just like in love instantly. It's so fucking cute and awesome. Yeah. It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you should check it out, Ryan. It's got a mech in it.
10 out of 10.
Maybe I will. Speaking of growing things, I had one more thing that I remembered.
Ryan's growing weed.
No.
In his home.
Beer and weed up in this bitch. No. No, I made a new level of commitment to my beard this week.
To your beard?
I bought there's this place called Texas Beard Company.
Mm.
And I bought some nice oil and beard wax to help keep my beard soft.
I don't do that. So it sounds gross. Yeah, Ryan has a bit of a beard.
Aww.
Yeah, I got a beard going, man.
That's adorable.
So I made a new level. Well, I plan to grow it out longer than you've let yours go, Gabe. So that's why I kind of was like, I should probably do something to...
Gabe's is pretty bushy, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess when I saw him last, it was fairly trim short.
That's so gross.
Did you just like touch it or what?
Yeah, I just reached out and touched the bottom of my chin.
Touched under his chin.
I don't know.
My scrotum. I'm just
kidding. See, check it out.
This feels pretty all right to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I live with it, so.
It's so thick.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I found that my, like, closer to my neck, it's growing long or faster than up near my chin, so I'm probably going to have to trim that so it'll grow evenly. Little weird that it's doing that, but whatever.
That's the only place hair grows on my face. It's just under my neck.
Right.
Yeah.
It's called the lower shelf.
Yeah.
it's called the Rex Grossman.
If I ever need like hair transplant, I'll just take it off from the bottom and put it on the top.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's the future.
Yeah. I'll have stubble on my head.
They like they cut a strip of skin out for that shit, man.
Yeah.
They're gonna take a scar across the bottom of your throat.
Like. Well, if it's his whole throat, no one can notice.
Yeah, and plus the top of my head will look excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure that.
Yeah.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Don't think about it too much.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was that was the other thing that I remembered that happened this past week.
Like, beard oil just sounds so gross.
Beard oil?
It's not real, it doesn't, like, leave it greasy or anything. It just, like, helps the skin underneath, like,
know,
not
it's essentially, like, shampoo.
You know how olive oil comes from olives?
They're just squeezing just like out beard somewhere. Ugh. No, that's gross.
Disgusting.
I bought some hair oil.
Well, it's not necessarily it's not to wash it. It's to keep it from being dry and like wiry, and it also keeps like makes it so the skin underneath isn't itchy and dried out.
Okay,
so
I should probably
that's really more what it's for.
Totes.
So long as you apply it in the right amount, your beard won't be like oily or weird. So
it'd be kind of funny though. If he's walking around, his face is drenched.
He's just dripping.
Just lathered and shiny.
Yeah. That's attractive.
Yeah.
Well, he's peacocking.
Spike it. It'd be like
he's
my
peacocking
hair
with his beard.
Well, so my cousin's getting married later this year, and I've promised that I'll dress up like a pirate.
Oh?
She doesn't want me to, but I'm gonna. So I need to buy a pirate costume. But what I'm thinking is that, like, when she, like, they say, like, oh, you may now kiss the bride or whatever, I'm gonna, like, tie this up. Like, beforehand, I'll tie the beard up, and then, like, I'll just start lighting it on fire, like, beard. And then it'd be like, yeah! And it'll be, like, have, like, sparklers or something in it.
Uh-huh.
Like, that'd be cool.
Okay, just don't burn your face off.
Well, yeah, because, like, sparklers are, like, thermite, so it's kind of dangerous, but, like, I'll make it work.
I think a good way to make sure you don't hurt yourself is to drench yourself in beard oil.
Non-flammable beard oil.
He's gonna set it on fire, and then he's gonna, like, it's gonna go off, and it's gonna puff, like, this noxious gas into his nose. He's just gonna pass out instantly, and his face is gonna be sitting there burning while he's passed out.
Happy
he's
wedding.
Happy wedding. It's gonna go bad, Gabe. It's gonna go real bad.
I mean, it can go well one way and horribly, like, a thousand ways, so, you know, that's my kind of plan. I like it.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what happened this week, guys? Oh, wait, are you still telling us what
happened? I don't think I did anything else interesting.
Okay. What happened this week, guys?
So, we got a taste of a little interview. The interview. Not with Seth Rogen.
Interviewx?
The Molyneux interview.
Huh. The Molyneux interviewx.
And on Rock, Paper, Shotgun. And it was a little rough. Did you finally get around to reading it?
No.
No, you probably didn't. No. Okay. But I told you the first.
Tell me.
I told you the first question, though. That kind of sets a tone. The first question was, are you a pathological liar?
Yes, that's a fair question to ask Peter Molyneux, the king of pathological lying. Or just lying.
And after the interview, it essentially continued with a similar tone. And after the interview, there were like camps of people that were mad at Rock, Paper, Shotgun, and people that were like just further angered at Peter Molyneux. And
I don't know how you get more angry at Molyneux from that interview. Like, if anything, it's just like, well, I mean, okay. So you can, from my perspective.
Having not read the interview.
Yes, having not. Yeah. No, I mean, I just know what you've told me. So
I read several large chunks of it, but.
Because it's fucking long.
Yeah, it's really long.
But, yeah, so did Rock, Paper, Shotgun go too far? I have no idea. I can't speak on that. But if they're challenging him on all of the shit he's said or promised and thing, and how none of it ever pans out, none of it's even close ever, like, it's about time somebody calls him out on that. So I don't really care. And I get it, like, it sucks being called out that you lied, but you lied.
That's the thing. I still, like, after reading what I read, I don't, like, I think he's just really bad at things. Like, I don't think he was, like, malicious in any way.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like he lied to people. I think he honestly believes that these goals could be met and that he can do them, even though he's never done them.
I agree with you. I don't think he flat out, like, I don't think he's malicious. I don't think he was like, oh man, they fell for it.
Yeah.
No, we got him again, boys.
But all these years in the industry, you should know better. Like, that's what it keeps coming back to. Like, you should know better.
Of not even just, like, the industry of a whole, of just, like, you're Peter Molyneux. You got a bit of a reputation at this point of doing this.
Yeah.
Right.
And, like, the difference with what's happening to Goddess now is that he's not promising people off of, like, money from a publisher. He's promising people off of money they gave him to make this game.
And, yeah, he still went to a publisher.
Yes, and the point of going to Kickstarter to not have a publisher, which he said in the video,
that's what was holding him back all these years.
Yeah, and and now the mobile version of Goddess has a publisher to it. And
I did
go on.
I was like, I did, like, in regards to that, like, going to the publisher and, like, going to the part where he's, you know, he's talking about he asked for what, 30,000 and ended up with like 40,000, right?
Add another zero onto that.
400?
Yeah, it was like, I think he asked for 500 and got 600, or he asked for 400 and got 500.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't think it was that much. Either way, so he got more than he was asking for, and they keep asking him, like, Like, this is the problem with Kickstarter that's kind of rough, and I kind of understand where he's coming from, and it's kind of a shitty situation. And this is where I think he may have known better but couldn't do anything about it, was like, okay, we need this money to make the game, but he knows, like, it's probably going to cost more than this, but I don't think I can get more than this. And Kickstarter is an all-or-nothing situation. So if you ask for too much and you don't hit it, you get nothing.
Right,
or yeah. You set a reasonable amount to hit,
yeah, and, that's,
and you at least get that. But it sucks. It sucks that, like, I think if you know that that's probably what's going to happen, like, I think you should make it clear from the beginning that, like, hey, this will probably only partially fund the game, but we need seed money, essentially.
Yeah. Well, fun fact, this project was successfully funded on December 21st, 2012. If you remember, that was the day the world was supposed to end. So,
Oh, he was counting on that.
Yeah.
He's like, fuck, we gotta make it now.
Oh, shit.
We were discussing this over the weekend with our buddy Serge, and he was like, I mean, me and him were like, yeah, this Kickstarter number was never gonna fund the whole game. Like, clearly they needed it to get the ball rolling.
And they should have said that. Because
he said that in the interview of, like, and they didn't say it in the Kickstarter. Right. He said it in the interview that, like,
and that's the problem. He said it in the interview.
He pretty much
had
the Kickstarter. A good idea that this would not be enough. But the problem is, you're asking for this, and then you say, "Oh, we're not going to have a publisher if we get this," and then know that or at least have the idea that that's not going to be enough to make what you want to make. Like, you know,
because you, in a sense, that's lying. Because if your plan is, all right, we'll have this Kickstarter and we'll promise this amazing concept of a game so that people donate with the intent of that just being what you need to get started so that somebody else can pick you up. You're not giving people the full context of what they're paying for.
Yeah.
You're hiding things.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like this is the one point where, like, he should have been more upfront, especially if he felt that way. If he really felt that way when he asked for 500,000, yeah.
No,
but if you really feel that way, if you really feel like, hey, this is probably just going to be seed money, you need to make that clear upfront and say, like, you know, we'll find the money to finish the game.
That's when you open an Indiegogo.
Yeah,
where it doesn't matter if you hit the goal or not, you just get whatever's donated. Yeah,
there's other places to go for that. See how much people are willing to throw at you, and then go from there.
Yeah, and then on top of that, he said it would take 7 months. It's been
2 years?
2 years.
2.5 years, almost.
2.5, yeah.
Yeah. The thing is, like, you can't, like, have a flat, like, a determined, like, okay, this is how long this game's gonna take.
Yeah, but the difference
this is how much
a few
it's gonna
months.
Cost. Yeah, like, it.
Where did he get that estimate? A few months? Like, that's. He must have had something that informed that, like.
I don't know.
That date.
And then there's also the thing with the person who won Curiosity, whose life has not been changed, like, at all, except he went to England, I think.
And they cut all ties with the guy, right?
Yeah, for, like, 2 years he heard nothing. And then, like, just recently, like, after people were like, did anything ever happen with that kid? They're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we gotta change his life.
The kid who won Curiosity.
What was that?
That was the game that was, like,
it was the lie before this one.
It was the game. It was the mobile game of, like, tap on the cube, and Peter Molyneux promised that, you know, once the cube is opened after a certain amount of taps, it will change whoever opens it. It will change their life, and this kid
didn't.
Yeah, it didn't. And, like, the reason
well,
for that,
that
is
now
that
now he knows what's in the cube, so technically it changed his life. Like, he knows that thing now.
Yeah, we didn't say how.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
like,
we didn't say how much it would change your life.
You've now seen Peter Molyneux talk in front of a green screen, so, you know, that's a little different.
Yeah. This Red Hook changed my life just now. I'm a little drunk.
Yeah, that's what this whiskey's doing. I mean,
changing lives.
Life changing.
Peter Molyneux should, like, start a, like,
brewery.
Alcohol drink, start a beer.
22 company. Cans.
He should start an alcohol drink. I like that, Javi.
This drink will change your life.
Well, like, alcohol drink doesn't promise too much. It doesn't say if it's going to be a beer. Yeah, it just says it is a beverage that has alcohol in it.
He can make it as vague as possible so that he cannot be a liar.
It could literally be a bottle of rubbing alcohol
for
himself.
And then everything is virgin, and he's a liar again. Yeah. He just makes soda. God damn it, Peter Molyneux.
The Kickstarter didn't raise enough.
I meant to put alcohol in
it. I did not properly read up on fermentation.
We didn't have the time or resources. This was to get the ball rolling.
Do you know how expensive yeast is? It's so expensive. We could not make it happen.
Again, I haven't read the full interview. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they get cruel. But that initial question does not offend me. Like, that's actually a great way to start that interview.
Do you believe you're a pathological liar?
Yes, because it's full of shit consistently.
Well, so the interview,
How about Milo? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It kind of continues. I think it's John something at Rock Paper Shotgun. That's very specific. But he starts asking Peter, and just from the text, it's just like the transcript of the interview. But from the text, you know, it sounds like he's getting a little heated. He says, so you lied to, these people. Like, they haven't gotten what you promised them in the slightest. Because, a Kickstarter, a lot of people haven't, received the pledges they paid for. It was, $200 for an art book that was described as a, art book, just that. They still haven't gotten that because now they're saying it's a making-of book instead of a art book. And, you can't send out a making of book for a game that's not finished yet. And I think someone said that it did say making of book, but in a different section. It didn't say making of book in, the actual pledge section.
So what is all this? Sorry. Where's this good faith for Peter Molyneux from? Is it because Black and White was so good? Or is it because Fable was disappointing but still good? Why do people still donate so much?
I don't know. The thing with Peter Molyneux, Jim Sterling did a thing on it today, a Jimquisition of, this isn't new at all. It's Peter Molyneux after Fable, when Fable was, getting, hyped up, promised to be, this great thing.
Yep.
When Fable 2 was getting hyped up, he was like, Fable was garbage. Fable 2 is where we're going to get it right. Yep. Fable 3 is starting to get hyped up. Fable 2 was a disgrace. Fable 3 is where we're going to get it right.
Nope.
Fable Legends is starting to get hyped up. Fable 3 fucked up. Fable Legends is not on rails. And it totally was. And that's just the cycle with this guy. And from after I read, I read the whole interview. And after that, I wasn't angry at Peter Molyneux because, this is... this kind of just seems like what he's done before. It made me feel sympathetic for him because the way he talks in the interview, he's not trying to swindle people. He believes he and his team can do this, but
maybe he doesn't know what the word revolutionary means. Maybe he just needs a dictionary or a thesaurus. Just use different words, Peter. Use simpler words that don't have the implications.
Or just use no words. Just don't say anything.
It will be a game. All right.
Does he think that if he had opened the box for mystery box or whatever the hell it's
Curiosity.
Called, that it would change his life? Does he think that that would have happened?
Yeah, what if it was him?
Yeah, maybe
he just waited
does.
Until the counter was one and then just boop.
He's just, oh my goodness, I've done it.
I don't know. I mean, God, it's now it doesn't have multiplayer in the mobile version either, and that's something that's holding it back. There's something wrong with the multiplayer, and that's also their excuse for, the kid who won Curiosity not getting his God of Gods bit yet.
Yeah.
But I think what made people like react so strongly about this interview was that we don't get interviews like this a lot.
Yeah. Not allowed to talk to people this way.
Yeah, most games interviews aren't like they are advertising. Like, I think I told you over the weekend, like, there was like a Django Unchained interview where somebody started asking Quentin Tarantino about like violence in his movies, and he's like, I've answered that before. This is an advertisement for this movie. I'm not gonna like ask another question about my movie.
Huh.
That kind of made me realize, like, oh yeah, all these interviews are just like kind of just just purely promotional material, and that's kind of how they've been in games. And you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing.
It's not exclusive to video games. Everything works. Movies, politics, like you stroke the person that you're talking to's ego so that you have access to them. That's how it works. If you're known for challenging the system, you don't get to be a part of it.
Yeah. And like, there's just, I mean, Rock Paper Shotgun has been, like, they've had similar interviews like this before. Not as abrasive, but, they had, like, my favorite interview from Rock Paper Shotgun, they interviewed the writer for Far Cry 3 after that game came out, and they asked him about, like, how he responds to people calling the game, like, racist, and, like, exploiting tribal traditions and all that, and pretty much his answer to every question was that, oh god, what the hell is happening? Something weird's going on with the Skype call, ladies and gentlemen. But what was I saying? Like, his answer to each of the questions was pretty much like, that's the point. And the interviewer is clearly getting like frustrated with, like, why are you making people the victims of your experiments? I should link you the interview. Like, it's just like, it's pretty great. Listeners might be a little bit until you hear Ryan again. Something wrong with computer or some bullshit. But moving on from Goddess, I don't know how you feel about Banjo-Kazooie.
Okay, so the characters themselves, like Banjo the Bear and Kazooie the Bird, don't give a shit about them. So I actually don't even find them particularly endearing. And I understand it's because I don't have nostalgia for them. Like,
So if I were to tell you there would be a spiritual successor without Banjo or Kazooie in it because they don't own those rights.
And their eyes look great.
That one picture we've seen of their eyes looks great.
They look great.
So,
let me just say, character design or whatever aside, I love that game. That game's great. It's a collect-a-thon, it's a 3D platformer, it's everything that I love. That's what I eat, sleep, and breathe.
Mm.
Yeah.
Alright. Well, I think it's Playtonic Studios making the game, and it's like, I think it's six guys from Rare that all had, like, multiple years of it. Like, some of them have been there for, like, 20 years, some of them have been for, like, 17 or something. I think the lowest I saw was 8. They're all, like, Rare veterans that had been there for at least part of the good years of Rare.
I was looking at the site and, like, the team members that are there. They're all artists. That can get you pretty far, but I'm also worried about, like...
That's why the eyes look so good in that picture.
Yeah. Like, I'm wondering if they have the gameplay designer around. Like, it didn't look like it. I know that today they announced that they got Grant Kirkhope to come back, so we're going to have great music and sound effects in there.
Yeah. Well, they said it's going to come to Steam and Early Access, but they said if there's, like, demand for it on Nintendo platforms, which, I mean...
There will be.
I don't know how...
I don't know about Nintendo platforms, but on...
Yeah, the only quote PSN I saw was, Xbox. Like, they have, like... a strong relationship with Nintendo they have like a long history with them.
Yeah.
And they would like it to be there, but you know, if the demand's not there,
this is great. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, Grow Home is not necessarily a 3D platformer in that kind of sense.
No, it's fucking great. That's what it is.
Yeah. No, it is fucking great, but it's like, I don't know, that captured some of the spirit of why I love these games so much. It's not about get from this checkpoint to this checkpoint and shoot everything in between. It's more about here's an environment, here's the tool set you have to explore that environment, and you get to be creative with that tool set. How are you going to do that? And then also, like, check every nook and cranny. I guarantee, or there's probably something to collect behind it, and then there's a reward for that. There's something visceral and exciting and rewarding about that. So I'm excited to see this kind of game come back. Like, I've been saying for years now that how the 3D platformer's gone, and that bums me out. But it looks like it's on its way back, hopefully. Like, hopefully this is the game that, like, this and A Hat in Time prove that there's a market that's been starved that wants this kind of game.
And that market is you that just buys the game, like, 1,000 times.
Yes.
So that's what I'm
gonna do. I'm going to do your Mirror's Edge thing where I just buy it for everyone I know, whether they want it or not.
I really would. I wish I had kept track of how many copies of Mirror's Edge I bought. Because, like, when Mirror's Edge prequel 2 or whatever, it's just called Mirror's Edge, but whatever that comes out, if it does, like, I'm probably gonna buy it on each of the systems just because I will.
Because why not?
Yeah. Like, if it has a special edition, I will get, like, every single one of those. moving right along. So, guys, pour one out because The Last Guardian's trademark name has been abandoned by Sony.
Goodbye.
I think we were all pretty sure that game was coming out, right?
Yeah, like any minute now. Mm-hmm. Any minute now is the new trailer. But this doesn't mean the game's dead. It just means, you know, the name is gone, at least for now.
They refuse to say it's dead.
Yeah, I mean,
didn't this happen a while back?
No, just today. They renewed the trademark, and people were like, oh, it's still alive. But now, I don't know how often you have to renew trademarks, but
yeah, this seems like too soon.
But it has been abandoned, and I don't. Maybe now that it's been abandoned, people are gonna just start making like shovelware games called The Last Guardian. It's like, here you go, you finally got it. After all these years, here's a Flappy Bird clone. Some people think The Last Guardian is actually going to, like, be shown again this year.
It could be shown.
It'll just be the same trailer.
It could be shown at any time or not. But I think it's come to the point where, like, predictions are just pointless.
Yeah. Like, there's
Half-Life 3!
Exactly.
Half-Life 3 will probably come out when the Steam Box comes out. Because,
yeah, see, there's more of that wild speculation.
Yeah, see, right there you go. Or no, it's probably just never going to come out. Because
I think it'd be so badass, and I don't know if anybody has the balls to do it, to pull a Beyonce and just be like, hey, this game is out. It's out right now.
I mean, that's how it, like, used, like, to be done.
What? Who?
I mean, like, a long time ago. Like, there were, like, games, Nintendo would announce a game and be like 2 weeks later, oh, yeah, it's here.
What?
Yeah, like, Sega did that too, I think. Like, a long time ago.
Yeah, back when, like, things weren't,
yeah, like, when I was, like, a baby.
There wasn't before a media rush for video games.
Okay, well, that's different.
Yeah. But, like, it still happened.
I mean, like, the last thing I can remember that's like that was Sony's E3 conference, where they're like, here's this game with two birds floating around. It's on PSN right now. Like, that was this summer? Or last summer?
Yeah, and then, like, the quickest things get, like, turned around now is pretty much, like, Nintendo and Donkey Kong, where it's like, play this in, like, 6 months.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, yeah, Mario 3D World also. They showed that at E3.
Yeah, and then it was later that year.
That was cool. Do more of that.
Yeah.
We need to see shit 2 years in advance.
Last Guardian's just gonna, like, get, like, quietly placed on the PlayStation Store.
Yeah.
Just under a different name now, and just see if maybe it'll be Frog Fractions 2.
Frog Fraction.
Yeah. And then last up, Sonic Boom is the worst-selling Sonic game ever. And I read that the combined Wii U and 3DS sales of that game were below 500,000 copies.
What?
Even with all that Street Fighter tie-in?
And with the cartoon.
I don't believe that. Like, that's hard to believe.
That
it sold so poorly. Because it looks the same as any other Sonic, and it has the cartoon.
Exactly. People got wise, and were like, fuck this shit.
This looks exactly like that one game I played back in 2006.
that I hated.
Yeah. Except he's got a scarf now.
So it's pretentious too.
maybe all the fans are growing up more and more. Like I imagine, like the people that have kept Sonic afloat are kids. You know, people that draw the don't know any better. Grew up with Sonic, and they just love it because it's Sonic. And maybe they're getting older, and they're like, "This is bad."
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Was it always this bad? Sonic goes back and plays it. Yes, it was!
Sonic is good to people who don't know what a good game is. That's why people back in like 1993 really liked it. Because people didn't know what good games were yet.
You're lucky Dylan ain't here. You get an earful.
Yeah, I'd say the same thing if he was here.
Yeah, I know.
Sonic,
oh, I know.
Sonic's never been good, people.
Sick burn. Here's the thing. I don't disagree, but I also understand that, like, there's people that really enjoyed it. Like, I mean, and who am I to say it's bad? Like,
I'm not saying they can't enjoy it.
I guess I'm saying that I don't like it, but I wouldn't necessarily just paint it with, like, a bad brush. This is garbage. Like, the 2D Sonics, the old ones, like, yeah, I don't like them. Actually, my favorite Sonic is Sonic Rush for Game Boy Advance. Yeah. Sonic Rush is great.
I mean, calling games bad in blanket statements, you know, it's a dangerous job, but someone's got to do it.
Yeah, it's a dangerous gob job.
Gob job. It's a dangerous job. Sonic Adventure 2 is the best Sonic game.
The game's great.
For the same reasons that Spider-Man 1 is the best comic book movie.
It's got a great soundtrack.
Like Spider-Man 1.
Spider-Man 1. Not as good as Spider-Man 2.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Sonic should probably die at this point. The one thing that has been good that came from Sonic recently was there's like this Knuckles glitch jump in Sonic Boom, and they made it canon in the Sonic Boom cartoon.
Oh, that's really cool.
Like one of the creators is just like, yeah, it's not a mistake. We put that glitch jump in. It's canon.
Nice. Is the cartoon good? It looks nice.
I don't know. Huh. I think one of the podcasts I listened to, one of the women on it has a son who really likes Sonic, she says. And he goes apeshit for the cartoon.
Cool.
So, you know, I mean, I don't know if it's like a good kids show, but you know.
But kids like
it. Yeah, because it's Sonic.
Sonic.
And that's all the questions. I mean, fucking news. So let's go into questions.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure this week is a prototype hour. Prototype power hour. Thanks again, prototype. Don't forget to write into Awesome Tags Podcast.
Awesome tag.
With the same questions.
All right. Did any of you manage to get a new 3DS? I did. I haven't really done much on it yet, other than transfer the systems, which is a fucking...
Other than calibrate your nub?
I want a small one. So
go to Japan.
Yeah. Like, I hate... They added region lock, so I can't import it. The old ones didn't have region lock.
I thought they did.
Nope.
Really?
Well,
I thought that was like a thing. I almost vividly remember reading the
okay,
people
maybe
were mad
they
about.
Did. Okay. But I don't remember them having... Okay. Whatever. Either way.
either way, the small one is not here.
I want the small one, and I'll wait until it happens or not.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, like, the next iteration will just be the small one.
Yeah.
So.
Faceplates.
Yeah, I got the Majora's Mask Special Edition one, which is one of the... I only have it because I woke up to go to work that day, and, you know, I was up early, so I got lucky and got to get it. But I got Majora's Mask, and maybe I'll get Monster Hunter, as we were saying earlier. And the adjusted 3D is, like, crazy cool.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
So, like, you just, like, I brought it to Portage Bay on Sunday and just, like, stuck it in front of people's faces and started, like, wobbling it. It was like, you have a headache?
I remember I was showing mine, it was just a nightmare.
Yeah. Like, if you wiggle, like, the 3DS, like, the old 3DS, like, it's fucking terrible. But, like, it adjusts with the new 3DS. Like, so...
You gotta let it it's recognize your face first.
And it, like, sort of, like, get, like, I think it might move the camera a bit, like, the in-game camera, like, slightly. I'm not sure exactly how it works, but, like, ever so slightly changes the perspective to, like, adjust to where your face is. And, like, when I was playing in bed last night, and like everything was dark. You can see like a little like red light turn on whenever the 3D's on. So like I guess that's what's tracking your face.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, makes you feel like they're recording you. They're watching. How will Spider-Man fit into the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Nicely.
And there were never any problems, and it worked out perfectly.
Yeah. You go ahead, Gabe.
Fucking, we'll see.
Yeah, it's you know what? The Russo brothers are in charge. They're from rumors, strongly.
Those are Cap guys, right?
They're the Captain America guys, the Community guys. Rumors strongly suggest that they're gonna take over the next two Avengers films because Joss Whedon's out. So they're basically in charge of writing where the direction that the Marvel Universe goes going forward. I mean, for pretty big decisions, right? And they're more than likely going to have Spider-Man's first appearance in Cap 3. So, but it couldn't be in better hands. Those guys are great. They're really funny, like in Community, and Cap was charming. It was a really good action movie. They have a daunting task ahead of them. They need to, like, tell the Civil War story while introducing Black Panther, while introducing an all-new fucking rebooted Spider-Man in the same goddamn
because movie. Everything got pushed back. Because Spider-Man's here now. That's what I think.
Yeah. Well,
everything that got pushed back, like, a year, right?
Everything did, yes. Because Spider-Man's getting a reboot in 2017, which means they have to start filming ASAP. Which is they have to cast him as soon as possible.
So we'll hear about the casting soon. I mean, the one thing I
hope they don't cast the Maze Runner kid. That kid was not good.
I hope, and I think it's already confirmed that it is, but I just wish it wasn't Peter Parker. Like, I wish they would just try, like, a different Spider-Man. Because people were tired of, or, like, people complained a lot about rebooting Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield.
Not doing Peter Parker is an obvious choice. Or it's an obvious choice, and it's probably the easier route to take at this point. Because it's oversaturated. Mm-hmm. We've seen Peter Parker twice. We've seen it done badly twice. I mean, the first one's okay. Tobey Maguire's not a good Spider-Man. He's fine as Peter Parker. He's okay. But he's a terrible Spider-Man. Yeah. Andrew Garfield's great. I wish Andrew Garfield was cast in a better movie. I wish he was in a better Spider-Man movie. Yeah. I love that guy. And I'm bummed out that he's gone
forever.
Yeah.
Or maybe he could come back as Peter Parker, and then they could bring back, and then they could have, like, I don't know, other Spider-Mans. The only other Spider-Man
I know. They don't have a choice. Like, if they're gonna, they can't just abandon that Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2 happened and keep
Andrew Garfield.
Like, yeah. So, and those universes can't exist together.
Yeah, and Andrew Garfield's just kind of done.
Yeah, exactly. He's uninterested now, which sucks. So yeah, I mean, I understand the frustration. You don't want more Peter Parker. Miles Morales is an obvious choice. I agree. That's all true. But I'm a Peter Parker fan, so I don't mind.
You've seen him 5 times already.
I'd love to see more. I'd love to see it done well. I'd love to see a young kid take it and run with it. But I know
they got
the bad
guy. If they got like an actual 12-year-old to play, Jaden Smith. Jaden Smith is Miles Morales.
Dude, Miles Morales. Oh, God, that kid.
That'd be great.
A young kid to play Miles Morales would be great, too. But, yeah.
I guess Jaden Smith isn't 12 anymore.
I mean,
my dream is dead.
I pitched it this way to Serge and, or no, to Fozzie and Gabe over the weekend, and I think it's an effective way to pitch it to people who are like, God damn it, we don't need a Spider-Man in these movies. I think an interesting way, like, you gotta keep in perspective that Spider-Man to us is like a top tier superhero. To us, he's basically the Batman of the Marvel universe, you know. But in the context of the Marvel universe, he's a little kid. Like, even someone like Daredevil looks at Spider-Man as a nuisance. They're like, get the hell away from my city, kid. Like, you're ruining things. Like, no one takes him seriously. So with that in mind, like, think about like a 15, 16, 17 year old kid. A little kid basically standing next to Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. It's going to be the perfect dynamic.
And if he's like scrawny and shit.
Yeah, I mean, it writes itself that like them, those age differences standing next to each other perfectly captures what I like about Spider-Man. He's the underdog. He's kind of a lone wolf, but because no one wants him around, he's a liability to them, even though he saves their asses all the time. It's great. I would love to see a really young kid standing with all those adults. But yeah, hopefully that kind of inspire, or, you know, anybody who's skeptical, maybe that concept kind of makes them a little bit more accepting of the idea of Spider-Man being in there. But if not, then whatever.
Yeah, I mean, we should hear about casting relatively soon, and then we can speculate wildly from there.
Yeah.
And then Prototype asked, what do you think will happen to Beanox? Will they continue to make Spider-Man, or will they do COD maps? And Beanox is the
I know Beanox.
Amazing Spider-Man studio.
The
game studio.
They've been doing it since Shattered Memories and Shattered Dimensions or whatever the hell it's called.
Did they do those?
Yeah.
Too? Oh, okay.
Beanox has been in charge since Web of Shadows. After Web of Shadows, Beanox was in charge of making every single Spider-Man game. They don't get enough time to make their games. I think that's the
goal. Maybe if they start making it now.
Right. I mean, you would imagine, oh wow, they made Skylanders.
Skylanders, Tramp Team, 3DS.
Yeah, but you'd imagine they have the engine built, like, so they could just iterate on that, but I don't know. Oh, Kung Fu Panda the game.
Yeah, and B-Movie the game, oh man.
Oh boy.
What a lauded studio.
Yeah, I mean, nothing they've made is very good. It goes from like really.
Hey,
really
Marvel bad. Ultimate Beanox. Marvel Ultimate Alliance is brilliant.
That game is fucking hilarious, and barely works. Ultimate Spider-Man. I didn't know they made that. Oh,
it's just,
I mean, that game doesn't hold up
at
all.
They made Battlefront too.
Wow.
Or no, not Battlefront 2, but Battlefront as well.
Whoa,
that's crazy.
Crazy applesauce.
All right, and I think the last question. Yeah, would anyone care if The Last Guardian actually got canceled?
I don't think anybody could at this point.
Yeah.
We've gone this...
Well, no. People have been holding on hope.
Dude, we've gone a whole console generation with nothing. Like, you might be like, oh man, I really believed in that trailer. But, like, you've lost nothing. No one's lost anything.
It's been... When did Shadow of the Colossus go? Was that 04? 05?
I don't know.
Something around then. Either way, it's been close to 10 years since that's come out, so they've been doing something for a long time.
Or nothing. They've been doing nothing for a long time.
All right, oh, sorry. One last question. Will Fallout 4 be announced at E3? It sounds like it, because Bethesda has their whole thing. Fallout's another... can't get into Fallout.
It could be like a huge announcement for The Evil Within 2. You know, Shinji Mikami's back again.
I did really like when... this like Fallout or this Bethesda press conference got announced, that the ladder jokes started flowing. I thought that might have been like a forgotten crazy thing, but no, glad to see the ladder jokes are still here. Keep them coming. I'm not being sarcastic either. I actually think this ladder bit is still the weirdest thing.
If you can have ramps, how can you not have ladders? Like, just make it so when you're climbing a ladder, the floor
because climbing
it.
Is real hard.
Yeah, I guess.
Name a game that can
build
climb.
A ramp that goes straight
None.
Up.
There you go. Time's up. Couldn't name one. You had your chance. It doesn't exist.
Checkmate.
Yeah. Where's the climbing? Checkmate. All right, and that is all the questions. So Ryan, do that thing you do, like that one movie.
Ooh. Okay, if you want to find us, you can go to GameOverNation.com. You can also go to NeverNotGaming.com, which will just take you to the same place. You can
maybe one
also,
day KitFisto.com.
Yeah, if we can come up, hey, can we kickstart for like the $3,000 to buy KitFisto.com?
Why does it cost $3,000?
I don't know, but it was expensive.
As long as we promise, it will change people's lives.
Yeah. It shouldn't be that difficult,
no,
right?
It should be great. It's going to be great.
You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/GameOverNation. Hit up the YouTube channel, youtube.com/GameZeroVerNation. And you can hit us up on Twitter at GameOverNation. Send in all your video game, Spider-Man, and beer brewing questions to that location. And, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, before we go, I want to know what Ryan thinks of the Spider-Man reboot / entering the Marvel Universe.
I don't give a fuck.
What's your favorite Spider-Man movie?
I don't have one.
What's your favorite Batman movie?
I don't know.
Begins.
Fuck.
It's Begins. That's your favorite.
Okay,
you
sure.
You went and saw the fucking marathon. When Dark Knight Rises came out, you went to see all three of them at once, and you're like, Begins was the best! I know you better than you know yourself.
What's your what's your favorite Sean Connery movie?
The Rock.
Good answer. Alright, you're up. What?
Also Sean Connery Nicolas movie? Cage
no,
movie?
No, I mean, like, we're just, like, rapid fire Ryan questions, right?
Yeah. Ryan.
Huh.
Favorite Looney Tunes character?
Shit.
Wrong, Lola Bunny.
That's a tough one. No.
Madagascar or Over the Hedge?
I've never seen either.
Mr. Star Wars.
he's just naming games from the
Beanox.
From the Beanox catalog. Alright, this episode's okay. Over.
Hey, thank you for listening to episode 162 of Game Over Nation. I have been your host, Javi Rodriguez, with Gabe Philbin and Ryan De La Rosa. We will see you guys next week. Goodbye.
Bye.